With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
This is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John, Lance, and Dell with you now for the next 2.5 hours. Raheel joins us at 9 right here on ESPN 97.5. How was your weekend?
Good. I got into a... I didn't get into a Twitter fight. I just had to put somebody on blast. It was on blast Saturday. And then I followed up with an on blast Sunday. A guy who was... who stole my work back in 2016 from NFL, a former NFL scout and current piece of dog turd, a guy named Chris Landry, who appears on 790. Big ups to 790 for letting him on the air there, even though they know that he's stolen my stuff. And
when was he on?
I don't know. I don't know if he still is. He was on with Gordy for a while. I think he may still be. I don't know, to be honest with you. But they knew that he stole my stuff. I brought it to Gordy's attention, and they still had him on. This is a guy who was a former NFL scout, which is, he gets credibility because he's called a former NFL scout. Here's what happened. In 2016, it was brought to my attention by my boss, the editor, who said, "Hey, just want to let you know, this guy Chris Landry from Landry Football is taking your entire,
profiles
and literally just copying and pasting them as his own on his site, when he was doing, you know, like seventh round recaps of players. Guys he didn't know, he would use my stuff. He wouldn't try to change it up. He wouldn't try to, he would just zoop, control C, control V, done, next player." So I was livid. I remember I was at a Topgolf and I got a call from Andy, and he told me this was going on. And I was like, what? I mean, I'll never forget where I was. I'm like, he took the whole thing. And, you know, I work, you know how much time I put into these things. And he's just taking it all as his own as a recap of like the seventh round, for example. I've got the entire seventh round right now where you can go see he's word for word with my stuff on most of those players because he didn't know them. So they caught him.
Exactly.
No, exactly. Yeah. And it was.
How do we know that you didn't steal him from him?
That's a possibility. Yeah. That's a possibility.
And then secondly, what did you shoot at Topgolf then?
Well, I played the game where I like to play the game. You've been, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember, but I was actually hitting the ball pretty well that day until then.
Into the giant holes.
Yeah. I don't think it's fair to just try to hit it into the back net and try to get those points out of time. You got to, be precise. Well, anyway, so I was pretty furious.
Two unanswered questions, though.
I don't know the score. I don't know the score on that one. I do know that I actually did that stuff since my stuff was posted in December and January in many of these cases on those players, and his wasn't. I remember the NFL, my boss said, "We'll take care of it." And I didn't know if they were going to, what they were going to do, cease and desist, if they were going to sue him. I didn't know, because the NFL, I don't know if you know this or not, they're pretty protective of their stuff.
Yeah.
So I figured, oh, they're going to lay this guy out. I didn't even think anything of him. Then I'm searching for John Kelly. Like, I'm just doing a Google search of John Kelly to see what kind of trouble he's been in. I had somebody tell me he was a turd. He's a running back at Tennessee. So I wanted to go search for any issues he had. And he had marijuana. It turns out he's had a DUI. So I'm looking through. I'm just Google searching open source information, right? Just the internet. And I open 2, 3, 4 different articles, and I get to one, and I'm reading John, and he's not Alvin Kamara, but he's not Alvin Kamara, but he's an explosive playmaker with blah, 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 blah. I'm like, I don't know if I agree completely with that, him being an explosive playmaker, but whatever. He goes, despite all that, he rushed for 1,000 yards. Despite being criminally underused, he rushed for 1,000 yards and 9 touchdowns, or 7 touchdowns, one or the other. I'm like, okay, whatever. Next article. I get to the next one. No. Despite being this, he was criminally underused. Despite that, he still averaged 1,000. He's no Alvin Kamara. It's like, this is the same word for word. And I look up like, oh, Landry football? And then Luke Easterling from For the Win on USA Today. I'm like, oh, my God, he's doing it again. So I went to Luke's Twitter. I said, Luke, I need to make sure that you didn't take this from Landry. Did you copy this from Landry? I want to make sure that you didn't take this from him, because I knew the answer on this. And I didn't get an answer from him. Didn't get an answer. So then I Google search Chris Landry plagiarist to see if this is a problem. Boom. There's a Pro Football Talk 3 articles from 2008 where he stole from Mike Lombardi and Andrew Brandt from the National Football Post. Remember when we used to have Mike Lombardi on National Football Post? Mm-hmm. He was taking stuff from them. It took me to websites where message boards where they said he had stolen stuff from Chip Brown. Rivals kicked him off of Rivals site because he had copied and pasted on Rivals. Like, he's got this long history of doing this somehow. And I think it's because he's not a big name guy, so he kind of flies under the radar. And so I just laid him out on Twitter, and I took an hour to take pictures. I was up here working. I took time away from doing draft stuff just so I could get pictures of him doing this, so I had proof. I didn't just say it. And the internet got after him pretty good. But Luke's like, I appreciate you looking after me. He goes, this isn't the first time he's done that, unfortunately. He's done that to my stuff more than that. Then it turns out people at Tampa Bay, he's lifted stuff from individual team sites. So then I get a direct message from somebody who used to work with him at LSU. He used to work at LSU. Like, what did Landry do now? And I told him. And this guy goes, oh, man, I worked with him at LSU. He was human filth. When we were there, he was one of the worst guys I've ever been with. He goes, I see things have never changed. So it turns out this guy never answered. I mean, I added him in Twitter. He never responded to anything. In fact, anybody who made comments when they saw this stuff, they just blocked him. He just blocked them. Block, 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 block. So the next day, just to make sure that people knew that there's reason for my beef of coming after him for stealing stuff, I show what he did to me in 2016. And they're like, holy crap. That's your entire overview of your draft profile. Like, yeah, he didn't even think to even. So that happened. That was a lot.
That
of
was
my,
your weekend.
That was a lot of my Saturday and Sunday. Just shining lights on rats.
That's nice. Good. That sounds like a fun weekend.
Yeah.
And then
radio stations where he's currently on, their listeners, like the Bull and a Fox, which is Dustin Fox, was a safety for Ohio State. He reached out to me and goes, dude, we're not going to have him on anymore. I'm really sorry that he did that. We had no idea. This guy from New Orleans, like, I'm not having him on anymore.
Landry, he's definitely a Louisiana guy.
Yeah, he is. He also made a claim recently that Bill Belichick flew him down to Minnesota to break down tape before the Super Bowl.
He needed some help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
well, of course he did.
So I had to deal with that guy.
I went up Friday. I went up to Legion poker.
Yep.
Played in the tournament. Had to win.
You won?
Well,
you chopped.
We chopped.
Yeah.
We chopped. I was in the chop, so that was good. It was awesome. It's a nice place. It's a great place. Anybody up in Spring or Conroe or Woodlands or Kingwood or anybody up there, that's going to be your poker room up there. That's awesome, awesome, awesome. Nick and Jamie and Daryl and all the guys up there, you guys are awesome. That was a lot of fun and great poker room. So good stuff up there. Had a lot of fun up there. And then I had to go to Louisiana. And I'm going to be off the next couple of days here. So, Lance, you're going to take over. And then you're heading to the Combine, the Underwear Olympics.
Yep, going to the Combine. And you can watch me on the Combine coverage on NFL.com or on the NFL mobile app, which
is
NFL Now.
Are you going to have another facial expression with your glasses on that Dan Holden will be able to capture? And then,
well, I'm sure if you pause the screen at 150,000 different times and try to capture the perfect one, you can. I mean, if you want to never have any conversation with me ever again, that's fine.
Well, I think it's...
I let him go for the first 2 years, and then after that, I'm like, since that was every tweet, I'm like, yeah, I'm
that's
done
fun.
With
it's good fun, I think.
Everybody, it was for 2 years.
Well,
and then you might want to just mix it up with anything else ever.
But I, But people love that. I think people love that. I know I'm one of the people that love that.
I'm sure you are.
So there's that. Okay. Most important thing that happened this weekend.
One minute. What kind of money did you win?
Nice money.
Okay.
You know, no, I mean, you know.
Three digits?
No. We split it. We chopped 10 ways. The last 10 people chopped.
It's not three digits? Yeah, it's three digits.
Yeah. I won $1,300.
That's four digits.
Yeah.
That's even better.
No, yeah. It was nice.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it was nice. Anyway, so Tiger playing well. Okay. Rockets winning again.
What did Tiger do?
Tiger finished 11th.
That's not playing well.
That is playing well. No,
I guess by his standards.
Yeah, no.
He finished inside the top 20.
Who's 42, who's just come back and hasn't played in forever.
Marco
Mir. He finished 12th. I mean, that's nice. It was a nice tournament for him. Everybody's talking about Tiger being back.
Fine.
Dude, the course was difficult. He shot even par. There were only...
It was difficult for everybody,
John. There were only 11 guys that finished under par. So that's
did he?
Good. He finished even.
That's terrible.
No, it's not. There were only 11 guys that finished under par.
This is where we are now for Tiger Woods. Like he put,
No.
He was 12th.
Well, that's a good start for Tiger.
That tells you about golf is the exciting thing is who finished first, second. It doesn't matter. Tiger's 12th, guys.
Every headline. That's bad for Justin Thomas wins. He won for the 7th time in 2 years, and Tiger Woods finished 12th. That was it.
Is golf's TV ratings got to be substantially lower?
It's not, they're not great, but they don't care.
Let me ask you a question. Are the purses lower?
Is golf on network television every weekend?
Is it on network television? Why is it on network
television? Because the networks love it.
Cap
why? It's the exact audience that you want to buy things. It's old white guys.
Oh, and erectile dysfunction.
Oh my God! Every other commercial is CLS.
Clappers like clap on.
Every other commercial is Cialis.
It's people throwing footballs through. Yeah, bathtubs holding hands.
Yeah.
What about those one? Oh, this has just got to be said. The one, I don't know if it's the blue pill or Cialis or which one, where they're going into a hotel for the weekend and the woman is a total minx. Dude,
that's the blue pill.
These
and she lays on the bed.
She didn't have her. I'm like, dude, what? What?
Yeah.
She's trying to get it. What?
She wants to get it?
Man, yeah.
She's excited about her weekend.
My man takes his blue pill. And then guess what we're going to do? We got a vacation planned, but we don't even know if we're going to leave the room. I'm like, there's Justin Thomas is right now 3 under.
Right.
We don't need this kind of filth on our
TV. Yes, we do.
Especially with Tiger around. If he sees that woman, there's going to be problems.
Well, that's why he finished 12th.
You can't just put that woman there, beautiful. She's just gorgeous, splayed out across a bed in her nightie like, what's Tiger shooting? I'm like, oh no, don't get in here.
No.
John's trying to get a top 10 finish from Tiger.
No, he gets
distracted.
He gets distracted. All right, we'll figure out what was okay. Rockets, Olympics. Okay,
The closing ceremonies are like you're watching a Cirque du Soleil show.
I missed it.
It was insane.
Yeah, I missed it. But Blake Bortles. I mean, there are a lot of stories from this. Stan Van Gundy. How about all of the NCAA? Sean Miller. I mean, we had a lot of stuff going on.
We do have a ton.
We got a lot of stuff going on.
The double B Blake Bortles is something that was, it's not surprising, but it was a good move for Texans fans.
Yeah. Oh, no. I like the move if you want to know the truth. But I'm not sure that it's really, we'll talk about it on the other side. Right now, though, we got to talk about, since you mentioned the Texans, let's talk about champions, okay? Because that's exactly what they are. If you're looking, they're champions, Del.
No, but of what?
Of stuff.
Of the AFC South.
Not this year.
Usually.
No, but just about every other
most
year.
Most of the time.
Most of the time. But you've won the AFC South just more than anybody else.
A ton.
But
this year they won
over the last 4 years, who's won the AFC South more than them? Nobody.
But
Champion Energy Jaguars would if they
master
were in the division.
Playoff total victories this season.
We're not worried about that. We're just worried about being champions, Del, of the AFC South. They did win the AFC South last 2 years. Okay? So just so you know. And, by the way, that's championship football. And you know what's championship electricity? How about this? You want to go to championship celebration where they give out the rings? How about that? You want to go? Well, Champion Energy has a way for you to get there. All you have to do is go to champion.energy/Astros. champion.energy/Astros. Put in promo code 1560, and you got a chance to go to the ring ceremony. They got tickets that they're giving away. All you have to do is go there, find out for yourself. How about free weekends, the best in energy, the best in service? J.D. Power and Associates says they're the best. champion.energy/Astros, promo code 1560. It's that simple. Please go there. Find out for yourself if you're looking for the best electricity and you want to go to the ring ceremony for your Houston Astros. champion.energy/Astros, promo code 1560.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I found another guy stealing your crap, Lance. I mean, your stuff. Mike Mayock is pushing guard Quentin Nelson as a potential top five pick. You've been had Quentin Nelson as a top five pick. I think your loins get all tickly whenever you talk about Quentin Nelson, if you want to know the truth.
He is the meanest person I've ever seen in football. I mean, it's like...
For those of you who don't know, Quentin Nelson's a guard from Notre Dame.
No, he teabagged somebody in a game.
No, didn't don't get a, say that. That's ugly.
Well, I can say... like that's. Remember there's the, none of the buzzwords
in there.
Remember
the Alabama fan that got arrested? Well, he lost his job?
But he did that for real. There was no pants on.
Well, I know, but Quentin Nelson could get arrested because of you.
No, but he's got football pants on. I don't know how he didn't get a flag. I'm like, hey...
Hey,
you're not supposed to be able to knock a guy down and then squat over his face with your things. Like, that should be a penalty at least. I want to do something draft-wise with him at the combine where we watch just his most nasty, worst plays like that. The time where he grabbed the LSU player and did him like the Undertaker and chokeslammed him with one hand and threw him into the ground and then punched him, like fell on him with an elbow drop. Like, how is this not a penalty? I want to do that and then literally just do like a hard cutaway, like a silent cutaway, just to us looking at him like, was all that necessary?
did you really need to do this? Yeah.
He is a mean, ferocious run blocker.
Do you really think he will be a top five pick? Then you might lose your bet if Bradley Chubb isn't. He might take Bradley Chubb's place.
He's got a chance, but I think it's going to be tight. I think top seven.
Top seven, yeah.
Top five is going to be tight. Here's the thing. All of a sudden, people are starting to get a little shaky on quarterbacks, I've noticed, with some of these mock drafts where they realize, like, Rosen's fallen, which I knew would. Once enough people started talking to team people at UCLA, and they go, he's a turd. You don't want to coach him. Yeah. Nobody likes him. I knew he would fall back. Now Baker's doing Johnny stuff. He may start to fall back. Lamar's a receiver, apparently. He's going to fall back.
Bill Polian has just mailed it in.
And Josh Allen hurt children with some of his overthrows. Like, he threw one into, in a workout, he threw one into a playground.
which was blocks away.
No, he threw it about 90 miles an hour. Right. So he heated it up. So, he's got a chance. But the guys who get pushed up are rare trait guys. So, you know... if you have rare stuff to, I mean, Bradley Chubb's getting drafted in the top four. A quarterback's getting drafted in the top four. The Virginia Tech linebacker could go higher than you think. Saquon Barkley's got some rare stuff to him. He's really big, too. Now, Quentin Nelson's 340 right now.
I think Saquon will be taken in the top four.
He could go second.
Or he could go first or fourth to Cleveland.
Yeah, you're dumb if you don't take him. If you're Cleveland and you got a shot at him at four, why would you not take him if he's there at four? The Colts aren't going to take a running back.
I don't think they'll take second because I think somebody will come up and trade with you and take that pick to get a quarterback.
Yeah, there's a pretty good chance that the Giants, if the Giants don't like any of these quarterbacks, they could just pass completely.
And trade up.
Yeah, and they could trade or maybe trade back to, you know, seven or wherever Denver is. And we know that Jacksonville's not getting a quarterback in the draft because Blake Bortles was signed to an extension over the weekend. That was a little – I can't say that was a little surprising. It's actually not surprising. As soon as they are now doomed to mediocrity at the quarterback position, I think, because I don't think he's going to get – I think
does
he'll have
that
some,
preclude them from getting a quarterback?
In the first round, probably. Why would you draft one in the first?
Their cap hit this year is $10 million on Bortles. Mm-hmm. Next year it's 21 and then 23.
So then for the dead next
cap
2 years.
It's actually a two-year deal because the dead cap is only $5 million in the third year. So it's a two-year deal. This year and next. And you sit a kid or you get one next year.
Here's the problem then. If you sit somebody for 2 years, which is fine in theory, they only have 3 years left before you have to, really 2 years before you have to pay him again. So you only get 2 years to guess what they can
do. Well, then, okay, let's not say this year, but next year is when you draft a guy and you have him sit for that final year.
No, I think that's the only reason you would do it is if you're unhappy with Blake Bortles.
But this doesn't preclude you from doing it, especially.
I think it does this year. In the first round, I think it takes like Lamar Jackson off the board.
Yeah.
You can't because then you're going to, he's a developmental player and you need to wait, but you can't.
Well, if he's a developmental player, he might take 2 years.
No, he might, but you want him to get some. I don't know. I mean, look, if it's all about winning, you could still do it and say, hey, we don't have a ton of weaknesses. They don't have a ton of weaknesses.
Well, then how about putting in some packages from Lamar Jackson, too?
You could do that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to think outside the box, then I mean, I don't. Coughlin doesn't strike me as a think outside the box guy. But yeah, if you just say, hey, we're trying to win a Super Bowl, and if we get Lamar Jackson, we got a playmaker to pair with Blake Bortles. And if we don't like Blake Bortles in the future, then we've got a year to 2 years to develop Lamar Jackson. It really wouldn't be a dumb move.
Not that they're not the same guys, if you want to know the truth. Kept inaccurate down the field, and they run better than they throw.
Yeah, no, and Blake played a zone read offense. Actually, Blake came from a college offense. Lamar plays more pro style. Okay, really want to know the truth.
All right, let me ask you this, because I'm hearing so much. All right, A.J. McCarron, is this guy... Somebody that why is AJ McCarron somebody that we can everybody can win with
quarterback syndrome? That's all it is.
Well, I get that.
You know that.
I'm seeing now since he was able to get out of his contract with the Bengals. Oh, he's you know, it goes Kirk Cousins. AJ McCarron is the most coveted guys on the free agent market.
It really could have a big impact on the draft, though.
But so you would rather have AJ McCarron than Sam Darnold? Is this what we're saying?
No,
Lamar Jackson?
Who would you rather have, A.J. McCarron or Sam Bradford? I mean, I don't know unless you know
Sam Bradford.
What you know with
Darnold. I don't know what A.J. McCarron is. I don't know what he is.
I know. That's a coin flip with him. Sam Darnold, you know you'll get 11 solid games out of him before he's...
Sam Bradford,
yeah, before he breaks his back or shoulder,
right,
neck, foot.
But I'm going to get 12 games out of him. Who would you rather have, Case or A.J. McCarron?
Case.
And me too.
Yeah. I know who Case is.
But I'm seeing, you know what? You can just get AJ. Really?
That's because you don't know anything about him. That's why he's so great. Like everyone, Tom, you remember, I know this is hard to remember, and no one will want to own this, but there was a lot of love on the streets for Tom Savage before he ever played.
Yeah.
We've got to get Tom Savage in the game. Where is Ryan Mallett? Remember the love on the streets for Ryan Mallett Hoyer? Like, Ryan Mallett is a winner. What? Who's saying this?
I wanted to see everybody had made up their mind about Tom Savage before he even played. I was like, I want to see what he can do, okay? And because everybody makes up their mind, just because he was a fourth rounder or if you're undrafted or whatever. Yeah, Tony Romo was undrafted. Did everybody say, no, you give him a chance and see if he can play. See if he can play. And then if he can't play, then you know he can't play. Tom Savage, we know he can't play. But let's find out first. I love guys that know immediately before you even see him. Now, A.J. McCarron, we saw him in college, and he was a winner. Of course, he was on Alabama with a lot better players than everybody else had. I get
that. There's so many really good Alabama quarterbacks in the league.
None. But here's the thing. I don't know. I think I do. But he did throw a nice deep ball. Hey, at Alabama?
He's got a chance to be an NFL quarterback, I guess. We're just guessing. But are you
winning?
Played.
Are you winning big with? I didn't know you were going to win. You were going to get to the NFC Championship game with Case Keenum.
Kirk Cousins was a backup, where he didn't really get a chance for 1 year. So we don't know with AJ McCarron. I just know this.
Well, I do know this. Kirk Cousins hasn't gotten to the NFC Championship game.
You don't know. You want to know why AJ McCarron is more appealing to teams than probably Case will be? Here's why, because there's not as much tape on him.
Yeah.
Because they know who Case is, and you know what Case's strengths and weaknesses are. With AJ McCarron, it's like, I don't know, but maybe he's Jimmy. Yeah. Maybe he's Jimmy G.
No, he ain't Jimmy G. All right, 713-780-3776.
Stop.
Let's talk Rockets basketball on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So the Rockets win again, but a 5-point win last night. Let me ask you a question. Are you a little worried about the Rockets only winning by five? It was the closest.
That's where we are right now. It's a Dave Clark argument. Like, what are the Astros? What are we going to do about? What's the Astros argument? What are people
Ryan
point
Anderson
at?
Is the Astros argument. Your hero.
They won by five. He was plus 10. See the margin of victory again. You notice that he covers up the margin of victory every game.
How about James?
J-Mo was on fire yesterday.
Oh, my God. He scored 14 straight points at the end of the... His first quarter was one of the great quarters in NBA history.
He was stroking it for a while.
Holy crap. His plus-minus was only 12, but that dude, when he went out in the second quarter, they came back. James came back in, and they retook the lead. They just jumped all over.
So
I can't believe his plus-minus was only 12 last night. Because he was in on
They made a little fourth quarter comeback.
Yeah.
I never felt like every time Denver came back a little bit at the Rockets, like I never felt it was really truly threatened.
No.
I felt like that was going to be Rockets the entire time. Their ability to go with their spider lineup with Bamute and Trevor and Clint Capella, they just got these long arm granddaddy long leg spiders in a game. That's a pretty interesting lineup. But P.J. Tucker, but by the same token, in all seriousness, forget the plus-minus stuff, P.J. Tucker and Ryan Anderson off the bench where you kind of manage his minutes, and then P.J. Tucker where you have more defensive tough. This team is so much better defensively now than they have been in really since James Harden has been a Rocket. And you could say, Kevin McHale and then Mike D'Antoni. Mike D'Antoni isn't known. Kevin McHale was known as a guy who had Sampson. Kelvin Sampson was a defensive coach. They got after some people when Sampson was there. And then when D'Antoni first came, they were a pace team. But now they don't just run. This really isn't a run team at all. If it's there, they'll run. But they don't just try to – this isn't Showtime Lakers at all. They are a good half-court – they're a half-court offensive team. They have multiple creators now. When Eric Gordon's healthy, him and Paul and James. And now, gone are the Brewers, gone are the Josh Smiths. You've got P.J. Tucker. Can he hit three threes yesterday? Trevor hit three threes yesterday. Yeah. I mean, they have real shooters on the or guys who actually can make shots, especially from the corner. They know where they are supposed to shoot from.
Yeah, except Ryan Anderson can't hit a three, but okay.
But the rest of the game, he dominated. He was plus 10.
He had
four makes.
He did have a rebound putback.
I'm sorry. Did you see the dunk? I'm sorry. Yeah. You're just going to – well, listen, if you just want to skip right by that rebound, follow dunk, then go ahead.
This is all fine and good until you're watching Ryan Anderson miss wide left in the playoffs. This is fun. Yeah. This is fun now. I guess I found out
where Joe Johnson's minutes are coming from, too. Gerald Green doesn't even play.
That was, I think that's going to be a crapshoot. Any game with Gerald Green, you don't know.
Yeah. Well, this is what happened to Gerald Green after he was red hot and cooled a little bit. He just sat him. He just said, okay, Gerald
Green. Gerald's just hoarding buyout, guys. As soon as Tony Allen is out, he's just going to
I would love to have that
suck
dude.
Tony Allen right up, and he'll just be another guy that they can sick on somebody defensively that no one else can have.
Yeah.
It's literally like when he was in our fantasy league and nobody, like you couldn't, he tried to hoard a bunch of running backs. Like, what are you doing?
Right. Brandon Wright.
Remember that? An auction league where Daryl just went and just got a bunch of running backs? Yeah. Like, what are you doing? Seven running backs. He's like, I'm going to trade them. He had him so you'd have to go to him.
Yeah,
he's had to come up with a strategy, and he had like seven running backs.
Yeah, but then there's that whole thing about sitting really good running backs and not having any wide receivers.
I remember I hit him with this one. These aren't 6'7" power forwards. You can't just hoard these guys.
That's when he hoarded with Horton wide power forwards.
6'7" power forwards.
Nene doesn't play. Gordon is sick.
And look how deep you are.
I know. Look at that. And Joe Johnson comes. And you got Joe Johnson coming in.
He's like 10th. On the bench.
He was plus one, Joe Johnson was. But are you a little worried that the Rockets only win by five? And, oh, by the way, James has got 27 in the first half, and this was not even a surprise. His average is 31. Does that not seem low to you?
He's still.
Anytime
you're 30-plus, it seems high to me.
No, not with James. When did he
James
score
never averaged
less
30
than,
before, has he?
No, but when does he ever score less than, I mean, he's got 60-point games. When does he score five to average that out?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. But he's most of the times he's in the not most of the times, he's in the high 20. He's in like 26, 27. They bring it down a little bit.
John, do you have the box score in front of you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's are you surprised that only three guys made it to double figures? Now, obviously James scores 41, but it's just evenly distributed. Most guys, how many guys play 20-plus minutes? I'm just looking at him like, I would have just imagined that there would have been multiple guys with more than 9 points. But it's only Ariza, Paul, and Harden. And Paul's ability, particularly when the Nuggets were making runs, I know you point out James, but Chris Paul's ability to hit, let's hit a 14-foot jumper to calm everyone down. That's what he does.
Dell makes a good point. The biggest factor is not going to – Chris Paul can chill things out if they need to get chilled out. And the other thing is he can – if it turns into the – now, sometime they'll still do this, but if it turns into the wild chunk fest where they're just flinging up threes and panicking, Chris Paul can just penetrate, pull up at the free throw line, hit a little two and like, all right, we broke the little 7-0, the little 9-0
run.
Yeah,
that's exactly what he did last night.
Exactly. Let's just calm down.
In the second quarter.
We broke that because he can – you know, the Rockets have gotten really good at – they immediately will do screen and roll stuff just to change the matchup. Like, James was on the Joker and Jokic nonstop, it seemed like, yesterday. But the Rockets are pretty good at running little early sets just to get guys to switch, and then they pull it out and they'll go one-on-one. James and Chris Paul both are good at that, so – and that's coaching. They know which teams switch. And, you know, those are preset determinations, I'm sure, where they set up switch opportunities so that they can get one-on-one matchups. But, you know, the fact that the Rockets have a variety of ways to win this year, James of 41, Dell's talking about, well, not that many guys. But then the very next game, it could be something completely different. It really wasn't that way when Harden was here with Howard. You knew those two guys need to have a big game. When Chandler Parsons was here with Harden, when this is the first time where they can beat you in a variety of ways. Like the Astros. You don't know what's going to happen with the Astros. The Astros might have Marwin Gonzalez hit two home runs in a game. You might get beat by
Gattis or Mariznick might homer.
Yeah, you don't know what's, at least in the first half of the season, Mariznick might beat you.
Well, but he
isn't
got
beautiful,
hurt in the second.
And then he come in as a defensive replacement, and those locks, you know, that hair is just, he's running through there, and the girl's like, oh, my God, Jake. Jake is so amazing. And that's how the Rockets are like that. They see Ryan Anderson like, Ryan's amazing.
And that's not how they do.
Look at Luke. He spells it. Is it
L-U-C? L-U-C.
Yeah. Oh, he's so French.
Bamute.
He's so Haitian.
Well, no, but it, that's not. That's
he's
not,
none of those things. It's from Cameroon, but
that's
whatever.
That's what I meant. Cameroon, Haitian.
Same thing.
Similar.
What
regionally?
No, not at all.
I don't know my geography. I figured
clearly,
it's close.
Not close at all.
Probably close. I don't. We don't know.
One's in Africa. One's one's Haiti.
You know what I think of when I think of Haitian? No, it's Somalian. I am the boss now. What's the one from Captain?
I am the captain.
I am the captain now. What was that called? Captain James? Captain Phillips?
Captain Phillips.
Yeah. I was listening to Cornette. What is it? Brandon Cornette? He was played at Notre Dame on the way back last night. He was on ESPN. And the national perspective is that the Rockets can, I mean, well one of them said, yeah, you don't believe that the Rockets can compete with the Warriors for the title. And one dude was like, no, and Cornette was like, yeah, they can. This Rockets team can compete with the Warriors.
Why would anyone say no at this point?
Because you have, well, that's the same way Miami was in when they were on their run. The Pacers were right there. The Pacers even had the number one seed 1 year, and people are like, no, Miami's taking this. Until someone beats the champ, no one's going to take them seriously.
And, oh, by the way, what everybody remembers is Game 6.
I think they're taking the Rockets seriously.
Well, what everybody remembers is Game 6, where they bowed, where they just,
I think,
folded.
You are making, that's why we have a hard time in sports, is no one can project. You all have to see something first before it, like, you can't project what's going to happen. That's why so many people fail and as general managers, is they need somebody to show them something else. People can't think outside the box. This isn't even thinking outside the box. This team is so substantially different than last year's team. That's why it's hard to, from a defensive standpoint, they're substantially better. James is having his best season and not chasing triple-doubles. Because let's face it, he and Russ were chasing triple-doubles last year. Obviously. Where's all James's triple-doubles this year? It was he tried to get triple-doubles, which also saps some energy, you would think. Chris Paul's on this team. The depth of this team is completely different. The construct is different. It's a different team. The Warriors also, I think, are – this isn't the same team that they've been in the past. Now, they're capable of playing at a very high level, but I think that's going to be a hell of a scrap between those two if they match up. And I think they are going to match up. It's starting to look less and less. Now with San Antonio looking like Kawhi's not going to be back and that whole thing turning into a mess. Did you see what it is? His uncle is turning into the big problem. Kawhi's got an uncle that is making – all the problems for the Spurs right now. And you know what Pop's going to do? Pop ain't going to play that. They'll move him out of there. Kawhi ain't going to be a Spur. Mm-mm. They'll get rid of Kawhi.
And meanwhile, the Spurs, yeah, we got all these problems. You know what we're going to do to you, Cleveland? We're going to beat you on your home floor by 16. We don't care. Kawhi not playing, we don't care. Mm-hmm. Jay, yeah. Cleveland, you revamped, you refreshed, we don't care. The Spurs are, I mean, watching that. They're
Spurs
the least,
will keep giving you, they don't get the respect.
They're the least interesting team, good team in basketball. And it doesn't matter
they
with
just
them.
Can't get, I just don't think they can get through all the playoffs. But they will whip your ass in the game if you're not ready to go. And maybe the LeBron reset is a little overblown, too. Maybe that whole team being the best team in basketball or whatever we want to say. And maybe that's a little overblown. They do have better energy and they're younger, but we'll see.
All right, 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here, 713-780-3776. Come hang with us here on ESPN 97.5.
The most delicious app in the business and the easiest steak you can download. Wait, I think I messed that up. The most delicious steak in the business and the easiest sports radio app you can download.
Nice.
Yeah, right?
Saltgrass Steakhouse presents the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. So he hasn't wrapped it up, but with another loss by Cleveland, you know, and they looked bad yesterday. And LeBron said, you know, we're going to look bad. We still got, you know, I know we won the first two games, but y'all relax. We're going to have, we got to figure this thing out with all the new guys and all that stuff. But LeBron's the only one that has a chance to beat James for the MVP, right? Am I right? Is there anybody else even in the argument?
No, not this year.
No. I mean, I don't know how, and especially the way, look at, he did it again. 41 last night. He was ridiculous how good he was. So the minutes per game. He played 36 last night. He played 37 last night. He's averaging 36 a game, 35.8, which is 14th in the league, which is less than I thought it was. 14th in the league.
Don't you say it.
Here's the deal is whether or not Mike D'Antoni has the nuts to sit him. Can you tell James, we got it now from here in. Now, you want to win best record because you want home court advantage, right, throughout the playoffs. That's something that you want to have. You've never been the number one seed. You never had the best record at the All-Star break. You're doing all kinds of things that you've never been and never done before, which is great. You want to win the MVP. You've won MVP before, but you want to win the MVP this year. You want to do all those regular season stuff, but the end goal is to win the title. And if James was too tired last year, don't you sit him now and get him to about 30 minutes a game.
You got to read him and find out what his fatigue level is now.
But you know him. He ain't going to tell you. You can't. And oh, by the way, who runs the team? Kevin McHale?
Well, you still want to get
Kevin McHale had. John, Kevin McHale decided that he was the coach of the team. Guess what? He ain't the coach of the team no more.
What's the most important thing right now? It's the winning. Postseason, right? The most important thing right now is getting home court advantage throughout the playoffs. Right. They're a half game over the Warriors. You got to play this thing until you secure home court throughout. There can be no doubt. Okay. And James isn't playing crazy
minutes.
Okay,
so is home court more important than James being rested and ready for the postseason?
Yes, because you're assuming that he is going to be dead in the postseason, and I think that's I think it's going to be really hard to beat the Warriors on the road with seven games. I really do. I think it is the most important thing is to have home court throughout.
Yeah. Isn't that how Cleveland won their title, though?
They beat him on the road.
Yep.
That's Cleveland.
The thought is, well, you think about home court advantage in the playoffs. Say the Rockets get home court. Do you think the Warriors won't win a game in Houston?
They very well may. I'm just saying.
Well, so then you don't have home field.
Hold on.
You expended all that energy, and you still don't have home court.
Why are you assuming James is so fatigued?
Because
I'm just assuming.
Hold on. James
that was
had
the
seven
excuse
games.
Last year in game after game six. James was tired.
Okay, it was maybe the excuse. James, that had nothing. James quit. It wasn't James was tired. James quit. There's really no other excuse. We all saw it. He wouldn't even shoot. He wouldn't even get within 30 feet of the basket. It was a quit move. He was mad at a coach or something. I don't know.
If that was the case, Mike D'Antoni would have been tarred and feathered.
That wasn't like, oh,
No.
I'm so tired down an elimination game, I'm not going to try. I won't even take a shot in the first quarter. I'll take one shot. That was something. We all know something happened there. I don't know what it was.
So to your point, if it wasn't tired, if it was he just quit, if that guy has that in him.
No, we've already gone through this, Odell. We know
about in the playoffs, I know you said this is a different team. It's constituted so people look at them differently. If that guy has that in him, I get Chris Paul's around. I get they have the other weapons. But they're not winning a series unless James is close to his best, at least against the Warriors.
He's the MVP this year.
Yeah, so the question is, do you believe in that guy if he has that in him to quit in a playoff series?
Yes, I believe in James' postseason.
I would much rather...
I'd rather be him be tired.
I'd much rather he was tired than he quit.
Okay.
I would much rather that Daryl and Mike D'Antoni, when they sat up there the season and said that James was just tired.
Wait, I think he was tired from... They just came off of... Look, did he get tired of postseason? Probably. Do you remember the overtime games and everything? I think that was part of it. I don't think it was the regular season. Plus, James has had, seven games off... due to injury that he didn't play this year, that he played, he was a horse last year. He almost always is a horse. But he's not playing crazy minutes by NBA standards at all. This isn't even Jordan. Like, Jordan would play these minutes. Dream played these minutes. Stockton and Malone played more than this. These are not crazy minutes that he's playing at 36. And the second thing is, but I think absolutely 36 minutes versus home court advantage. Home court advantage way outweigh. If he was playing 41 minutes, 40 minutes, I would totally... see your point. But you got a chance to be the number one team in the West against a team that is clearly the best team in the West over the last 4 years. That is way more important than worrying about James going from 36 minutes to 34 and a half minutes, to me. I don't even think that that's arguable in any sport you want to have home field advantage.
The minute thing I get, but I don't think the home court means that much, not when you're facing that team. Let's find out
how these two teams play.
Matchups obviously are always going to be the most important, but I don't think home court's going to mean that much in this series. No matter who,
It certainly would be nice
for the Rockets
because they will win one game here, and if they've got home court and they win a game here, then you're in trouble.
I get it from the Warriors. What I meant to say, I guess, is I don't think not having home court means that much to the Warriors. You've been to three straight finals. I don't think it.
I think it means more to the Rockets.
I don't think it matters to the Warriors where they.
I think
start
it means.
Right.
I agree with you, and that's why I say it's important for the Rockets.
Yeah, I agree with that. Oh, I love.
Numbers are relatively similar.
And, by the way, being the number one seed, I mean, you're doing all kinds of things this year that you haven't done.
Yeah, let's stop finding reasons to, this seems like a weird time to tear down.
I'm not tearing down. All I'm saying
is. No, I'm saying in general.
But you got to have a game plan. What is the most important thing here? And that's being as good as you can be in the postseason. Because all these regular, the last couple of years with Daryl Morey and the tweets about James MVP, and I've been like, what the bleep? Who cares?
I'm with you on all that, but how?
Who cares?
But this is a battle to get number one seed throughout the playoffs. That's the most important thing. You got to have that. I don't care if Golden State can beat you at home. You're going to have a hard time winning at Oracle when it's crazy loud. Yeah. The officials start rolling on you.
But it's been done. It's not like it's like the Braves and the Astros back in the late 90s. Oh, well, somebody's beaten them. Guess what? Somebody's beaten Golden State too.
It's been done, but you know just like I do, it's preferable to have home court advantage.
Yes. Absolutely.
It's preferable in every playoff series.
Is it more preferable
everywhere
than being rested for the postseason?
I don't think
that's the question.
What makes you think that James, if he gets 3 minutes here, are you talking about not playing him at all?
No. I'm talking about cutting him back to 30. It's like we said, it's the Rockets and Warriors and everybody else.
Well, I can tell you this: in the month of February, James didn't have a 40-minute game. None. He had three in December. He had one in January. He's had none in February. Those numbers have actually gone down. He is playing less of the 40-minute games. Now, I saw a game the other day against Minnesota where I had no idea why James is in there with 2.5 minutes to go when the Rockets are winning double digits, like 13. What are you doing? If you get a chance to pull James for 2 minutes, pull James for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean he's not going to go hard after the game.
No, right. He's still going to go.
James can still go hard.
That's not optional. Okay.
Can Mike D'Antoni cut his strip club minutes?
No.
I'm sorry, kids, going to school. I mean, can he cut his club minutes?
Listen, that's going to happen if he plays 50 minutes or if he in overtime or if he plays 20 minutes.
Do you think
he's going to the club?
Let me give you a scenario. How about we just play James 46 minutes every night and he realizes maybe James, I'm a little tired. I can't go.
That ain't never happening.
Maybe it's the other way around. Hike his minutes and try to lower his club minutes.
That ain't happening. Oh. Okay, again.
If you take him out early, you know what he could do?
The club minutes ain't optional.
What if you take him out early of a game in your scenario to rest him, and then James goes, I'm not going for treatment. And that just means he's earlier to the club. That's working against you.
Listen. The club.
He really is an MVP. James does not cut back on club minutes, and he's averaging 31.
Dude.
Like, you know how hard
James
that is to go
hero.
That hard.
Okay, James is...
I'm getting tired of you banging on James.
No.
James is your hero.
James is my hero.
Are the Rockets allowed to petition the league to play games at 2 a.m.?
Oh,
can we start all games at 2 a.m.?
When they go to China, James goes for like 50.
If James is MVP at 7, what will James be at 2?
All I'm saying is if it's 2... The game ends at about 4. There's less time to be in a strip club. They're about to close.
Oh, yeah.
But no. Well,
but James also.
But James is at his best at 2 in the morning.
James might go for 4. But he might average 40
a game.
Not
only do you help on-court performance, you limit time in the club.
Oh. That's actually true.
No. James will just go to 8 in the morning now. That's all.
No, the
what are you talking about?
The girls got to go home at some point.
No, girls ain't going home when James got all those hundies out.
Now, I don't know. I've never heard of him doing this. I don't know if he's that, but like... I've never heard of him being trash sack full of, you know, ones coming into the club.
Not ones. Listen, I heard James just kept a club alive by himself. Okay, so
maybe that's old
James ain't getting there. James ain't going with ones. Okay.
Do you think he's getting married? Do you think we're gonna see James like get engaged if they win the NBA championship? He'll go Carlos Correa and ask me to marry him.
There is absolutely...
And then Martin Fox would be on the ground. Whoa, I can't believe it.
Well, only if... Did you see the picture of the Kim Kardashian of I forget what country she's from.
Remember when Kim ruined James's whole season?
Yeah, no.
41-41 with the Kardashians.
Khloe did.
I'm sorry, Khloe, yeah.
But no, the Kim Kardashian of some country, she has a 60-inch butt. 60.
That's
60.
Come on.
That's the only time James would get married, okay, if he found that.
We all know. I mean, even if Adidas and the Rockets get to him and say, hey, how about you don't marry a stripper? Instagram thought. That he's marrying an Instagram thought. We know that's the deal.
Oh, maybe.
All right, over under. Will James be married by the age of 40? Married.
God, I hope not. I hope not for James's sake.
I just can't ever see him getting married.
No.
Yeah, maybe when he's done playing basketball. Not while he's playing, he's not getting
married. No chance. All right, 759 ESPN 97.5. We'll get you guys in here on the other side. Manny.
Sorry about that, Manny and Chris. No shortest
wait in
no
the chance. Business.
Shortest wait times.
Shortest wait times in the business coming your way right here. Let's get to
Men's T Clinic. Yeah. Let me tell you, I'll just tell you really quickly. If you're tired and fatigued and you're worried about that, I'm not going to tell any, you know, local basketball players this because they might get in trouble for this. But if you are fatigued all the time, you're like, man, I need to cut back my minutes and my workouts because I'm too tired. That might be a testosterone issue. You may be low in testosterone, and it strikes men over the age of 40, one of every three. And it happens without you even knowing it. You just start to feel like a general malaise kind of sets in. And that's the best way I can describe it, because I was there. You can't get through workouts. You don't have the drive. You just kind of, man, I sure would like the benefits of a workout, but I'm just too tired. I just don't want to get up and go. It gives you that get up and go. It gives you the ability to get through the workout and get more out of the workout. You start to see better lean muscle mass and less body fat and less belly fat. And here's another thing. Your energy level will spike. It just increases your drive all the way around. Go to menstclinic.com and check out their three locations. One in Pearland off Discovery Band 288. 290 in Barker Cypress is there. And, of course, 1801 Durham. And I-10 in the Heights area, go to the website at menstclinic.com and find out which location is nearest you. Stop in, get tested, and find out if they can help you get back to being the real you at menstclinic.com.
ESPN 97.5.